It's going to be a real short message tonight, unless the Lord says otherwise. It's kind of a part two already to about a 3 or 4 point session that I'm having here dealing with Moses, amen? So kind of going to leave it and pick up on it again Sunday. So Exodus chapter 4, verse 29. Exodus chapter 4, verse 29, and we're going to go in and read all the way to verse 31. A real simple message here tonight, again, that we'll finish off maybe Sunday or by next Wednesday. I chose just to get a page, just to get a small part of it, instead of trying to put all of it together. Everybody there? The Bible reads, Moses and Aaron brought together all the elders of the Israelites, and Aaron told them everything the Lord had said to Moses. He also performed the signs before the people, and they believed. And when they heard that the Lord was concerned about them and had seen their misery, they bowed down and worshiped. Father, I pray that you just put me to the side here this night, that you speak to your sons and daughters, Lord, and that we continue to decrease as you increase within our lives through your word. And I pray here this night, Lord, that we're not just be those hearers of your word, but those doers of your word, Lord, Father God, and bringing your perfect will to pass in our lives and through our lives. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. We pick up at the story now where God already met up with Moses and told him everything that he wanted to do, the burning bush, and to go back to Egypt and to tell the Pharaoh to let his people go, amen, was the calling upon the life of Moses. And we pick up the story here in verse 30, or even verse 29. Let's just read that again. Verse 29, Moses and Aaron brought together all the elders of the Israelites, and Aaron told them everything the Lord had said to Moses. He also performed the signs before the people. Amen. He was there doing miracles, and the Bible says there, and they believed. And when they heard that the Lord was concerned about them and had seen their misery, they bowed down and worshiped. We need to remember that the Israelites at this point were in bondage for 400 years. I'm giving some simple stuff for those that are just starting to believe, for those that are just starting to come to church. This condition of slavery and bondage had been taking place now for 400 years, and I believe there's some men and women and youth here this night that you were under some type or other bondage. Amen. A bondage that allowed you to lose everything. But somehow or another, through God's grace and mercy, we find ourselves here this night, just not at another church service, but hearing the very instructions of the Lord that he had for Moses and the people. And here this night, instructions are once being given, maybe not through Aaron, but through Pastor Charlie. And what the Lord has for your life. And we need to be concerned here this night for the welfare of our life, for the welfare of our family, our brothers, our sisters, the lost and the bound. There's got to be something within us that says, I want to help. I want to do something about the situation, not only the situation within my own life, but I want to go beyond my own struggles. I'm going to go beyond my own struggles, and I don't want to stay stuck in my struggles, but I want to go beyond my struggles. And here Moses would have to go beyond his struggles of inadequacy, feeling that he was not the one to go to Pharaoh. Back to Egypt, amen, and fulfilling the call of God upon his life. Here the Israelites would have to first believe. Aaron would come and speak the very words that God gave to Moses. And he would tell the Israelites of what God said, and he would do some signs and what he did, some miracles for. And the Bible says that they believed. That they believed. Two things had to take place here. As I was driving to New York with a couple of the men, with Felipe and Mike, I started reading. And once again, the Lord started ministering to me. Real simple thoughts. That two things had to be conveyed here. And the first one was important. They would first have to believe in God. They would first have to believe that God was with Moses and Aaron, the two that the Lord was using to bring forth his instructions. That the Israelites were going to have to believe in Moses and Aaron as their leader. And to do that, Aaron would do some signs and wonders, some miracles, and allow the people to believe, the Bible says. He would do the signs that God would tell him to use, and the Israelites were astonished, and the Bible says that they believed and they worshiped. Here the Israelites would first have to believe that God was with Moses and Aaron. Secondly, they would have to believe that God himself was concerned about them. Not so much only that God was with Aaron and Moses, and the confirmation of that was the miracles that was taking place through Aaron and Moses. The signs that they were doing weren't normal signs of man's ability, but God was moving through Aaron's life, through Moses' life, even though Moses felt inadequate, that he couldn't do it, that God had the wrong person, that he couldn't speak good. God would confirm with the Israelites to first believe that he was going to use Moses and Aaron. But secondly, it couldn't just end there. God also had to convey to the Israelites that not only was Moses and Aaron going to be leading them, but they too would have to know that God was concerned. Here this night, you need to know that God is concerned with your life. God is concerned with your life. And the Bible clearly says that Moses and Aaron brought together all the elders of the Israelites, and Aaron told them everything the Lord had said to Moses. He also performed the signs before the people, and they believed. Two, and when they heard that the Lord was concerned about them and had seen their misery, they bowed down and worshiped. It was one thing for them to believe that God was working through Moses and Aaron. It was another thing for them to believe that God was concerned about them, that he had saw their miseries, and it was that that allowed them to bow down and to worship. That God Almighty himself was concerned about them. Here this night, we really, really got to position ourselves to know that God is concerned about our lives. Because God needs us to make it. He's concerned, and he's going to give us power. He's going to give us authority. He's going to give us what we need to make it. Because as he's concerned about us, he's concerned about others that are still out there lost and bound. But if this city's going to change, amen, we here, the church, first must believe. We here, the church, this night must believe. We must believe here this night. Here the Lord would use signs and miracles to convince His people. He would first have to bring His people to a place of believing. How many are convinced this evening by what God has already done? How many of you are convinced this evening, even though there might still be a lot of stuff still pending within your life, things that need to be changed? How many are convinced already by the signs and wonders and the miracles that the Lord has simply already done? That He is with us here this night. That He is concerned with us here this night. That He is concerned with the lost and the bound simply by what He has already done. We should be convinced. When one is convinced, it allows one to believe. We should not only be convinced here of the goodness of the Lord this night, the concern and the compassion that He has for our lives, but it should bring us to a place of belief. It should bring us to a place of worship where we adore and we worship the Lord. Exodus 5:1 says, after Moses and Aaron, afterward, NIV translation says, afterward, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, let my people go so that they may hold a festival to me in the desert. Afterward, he would first have to have his people believe, amen, that God was going to use Moses and Aaron, and also they would have to believe that God was concerned. Some signs and wonders were done for the Israelites, and the Bible says they believed. The Bible goes on to say in chapter 5, 1, afterwards, after they were in a state of belief, then he approached the Pharaoh, so-called the enemy, to bring him to a place of belief. To bring him to a place that he also would believe that God was moving through the life of Moses and Aaron. But first, the people of God would have to believe. It took miracles, signs for the people to believe. And once again, now he would go to the Pharaoh. There was a priority here, and we first got to believe. The Bible says in 5:1, then afterwards, they went to the Pharaoh. They were believing in Moses and Aaron. They were believing in God that there was a plan taking place. And the Bible says afterward, Moses and Aaron went to the Pharaoh and said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, let my people go. I put here, we first have to believe in God. Only then will the enemy believe that the Lord is with us. We first have to believe in God. We first have to believe in God. Sometimes we need to let the enemy know that God is with us. The enemy needs to know that God is with us. The enemy needs to know that we're not just people coming to church that have no relationship with the Lord, that don't pray, that don't read. See, the enemy knows these things, and I'm going to prove it this night. The enemy just don't come to church to come to church like some people come just to come to church. He's here on a mission. How many know that the enemy knows when we spend time with God? Real easy scripture I'm going to be using this night. Acts chapter 19, 13 through 16. The enemy knows when we spend time with God or if we don't spend time with God. This is in the time in the book of Acts. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. The seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. Church people, amen. One day, the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them, overpowered them all, and he gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. But they were using in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. There was no power in the name of Paul. There is power in the name of Jesus. But this night, do we have a relationship with Jesus? When we say in the name of Jesus, that Jesus abide within our lives. Do we know that we have that authority, that when we use it, there's power going forth? That the enemy cannot stop, that any evil spirit cannot stop. So the enemy knows if you've been hanging out with Jesus or not. It's not only Jesus that's sovereign, that knows all things, if you've been doing right or wrong. It's not only Santa Claus that knows if you've been naughty or good. But Satan also knows whether you've been spending time with Jesus or not. In the name of Jesus is religion when you're not spending time with Jesus. The second scripture there to confirm as well that the enemy knows when we spend time with God is Acts 4:13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. I love that scripture right there. You don't have to be all edumacated to have the power of Jesus. You don't have to be a college graduate to have the authority and power of Jesus. But here the evil spirits in the spiritual realm would know that those men were not spending time with Jesus. In the spiritual realm, they knew it. And here in the very physical, in the literal, there were in a Sanhedrin, there were in a courtroom, men that were coming against Jesus in the courtroom, they were able to see, not so much Peter and John, but they were able to see the courage of Peter and John wasn't from Peter and John, that this courage came from hanging out with Jesus. Spiritual realm, it's a truth, and even in the physical. Scriptures allows us to know that the enemy knows if we're spending time with God or not. Exodus 5:1 says, afterward. I put a side note before I came up here. It's hard to have the victory over the enemy if you still don't believe in God. Some of you are on the program right now. Some are you in the church right now. And you want victory. You want a good life. You want to be a good son, a good father, a good daughter, a good mother. You want the victory. But are you doing what it takes to be that good son, that good daughter, that good mother, that good father, that good leader in the church? Are you doing what it takes to have true victory? Not in the name of Jesus, who Paul preaches victory. But do you have the victory within your life this night? When something takes place, do you blow up and just fall to pieces? And want to leave the home, the rehab, the church? I've seen the same thing take place to two people at the same time, and how one responds correctly and the other one responds incorrectly. One's spending time with the Lord, one is maturing, and the other one's just doing time. I'd rather do time in San Quentin prison than do time in and do 3 years in San Quentin, amen, than do a year in the rehab doing time. In James 2:19, real quick message for Sunday. The Bible reads, you believe that there is one God. Good, this is James speaking. Even the demons believe that. You see, even the demons believe that there is one God. If they know, if we're spending time with God, they know if God is with us also. Even demons believe that there is one God. And the Bible says that they shudder, they shake, and they tremble at the mentioning of the name of Jesus. I put here, the enemy has no problem in believing that there is one God. I put here, the plan of the enemy is not to try to take God out. I put here, he already tried that by the way of the cross, and he failed. The enemy this night is not trying to take God out. He's not trying to kill God. The plan of the enemy is to take our faith out in Jesus. The plan of the enemy is to remove that Jesus truly lives within our life. It's very important here this night that we believe that God is concerned for our lives. It's very important here this night. I know that the Lord is concerned with my life. I know he's concerned that I do what is correct. But on the same token, I know that he's concerned about the sheep that he has called me to oversee. He's not only concerned for my life. I believe if it was just for me to be successful and to have the victory, I would have failed a long time ago. You know what keeps me accountable? You guys. I really believe if it would have stayed a Brother Charlie thing, I would have failed a long time ago. But the Lord put a calling upon my life like he did. I put a calling upon the life of Moses. The calling represented not only for Moses to have victory, not just for me to have victory, but for the people to have victory. And that weighs heavy on me every day I wake up all the way until I go to sleep. Where my mind is just frazzled with thousands of ideas, and sometimes I can't even carry one of them out. I want to share now one of the greatest ways the enemy tries to come between our relationship with Jesus. Real simple stuff tonight. This has been a truth in my life where I had to learn this one. In Exodus 5:4, God, Aaron and Moses have already spoke to the Pharaoh. He's saying, what you talking about? Who are you? Who is God that I should listen to him? It's on now. Amen. Moses and Aaron, they're in Egypt, and they're telling the Pharaoh what time it is, what God said. Amen. In Exodus chapter 5, verse 4, it says, but the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh, said, Moses and Aaron, why are you taking the people away from their labor? Underline this part. Get back to your work. Get back to your work. One of the greatest ways that the enemy comes in to kill, steal, and destroy the man of God in the process, the woman of God in process, the youth of God in the process is work. Because we all got to work. The Bible says if you don't work, you don't deserve to eat. And by the look of things, it looks like you all been eating pretty good. The enemy fast is finally over. The plan of the enemy is for Christians to work harder and harder. I've gone through this within my own life, the work of the rehab, and the many different types of work that the enemy can use. But work is important, though. It's important. The plan of the enemy is for Christians to work harder and harder, leaving no strength and time for Jesus, no strength and time for ministry. Have you ever said, man, I'm tired all the time? Huh, Sonia, have you said that one? Sonia says, yeah. She says, all the time. And all the time, the church says, and all the time. It don't hit like Jesus is good all the time. And all the time, Jesus is good. It didn't hit there. I always walk around, man, I'm busted tired, but man, I'm used to this. I'm used to it. I'm used to it, and I really am. I think I can write a book on simple exercise. Do you know in a week or two for me just laying flat on my back, I'm going to give some lessons. I know some of you guys think this is dumb. Okay. This right here, if your back is, your hump back, this is going to hurt just to do this. My back is flat right now. Just to do this, it was like I was lifting weights or something. Right? And then I'm not going to go all the way because we got the girls in the house tonight. Amen. They might go back. Craig, man, Pastor Charlie was, man, doing yoga. He was calling out a Buddha or whoever that guy is that they stretch to. Amen. And this one. And then I do this one all the way up. And then I do this one. And then with my legs open out and all that. And then I do this one. Right? And then I do this one, and I do this one over here, this one. All right, let's get back up. Amen. I used to drive from here to Chicago, and I couldn't even get out of the car. My neck's out in three places, separated shoulders, wrist. Now they're saying I got all this other stuff, surgery on my knee, cortisone on my ankle, cortisone on my neck. And I come out of the car, you know, like, let's go do it, guys. Come on, man. Come on, man, you weren't crying when you were in the world. Let's do this. Let's go get our fix so we can, you know, so we can get well. Let's go get our fix. Man, I want to tell you, if you know me, you know I'm always at the altar doing all this stuff before I come up in here and doing all this stuff because everything is locking up on me. I'm nervous and it's locking up. Do you know that we drove for 24 hours in a van? All the way to New York, I said, man, this is crazy. My back don't hurt. My neck don't hurt. And I was like, I didn't have to pop my back or do all this stuff. And I have a spasm here, another spasm here, and a spasm with the church, and just spasms all over the place, man. We got there. I got off the van. I'm like, what? I mean, I even do my ankles, even the ankles and all that, right? Got back in the van all the way back from New York. And Felipe, we got to stop in New York. We got to get a hot dog. The hot dog's, man, a hot dog's a hot dog. We are not stopping, Felipe, right? No, but Pastor, man, they always talk about the hot dogs are good in New York. I said, come on, dude. I can see good pizza, good steak, a good ribs. but a good hot dog? Come on, man. So I think we stopped at Burger King or something over there, and there was new fully loaded hot dog. I said, there's your hot dog. Get your hot dog. And he got it. He got it. And I don't know where I'm going with this story now. Darn hot dog, I told you it wasn't of God. It was not of God. That hot dog was so not of God. But he still got it. He got his hot dog and then the full meal deal. Get back in the car, come back, and I'm supposed to be paralyzed by now, right? And I'm like, what the heck, man? Why didn't anybody tell me about this 20, 30 years ago? I had all these things done, procedures, carpal tunnel, they're claiming all these things, and this tunnel and that tunnel, and I said, I'm in them, man. I'm in, that's me, man. I'm Pastor Charlie, I'm Victory Outreach. So they did all my carpal tunnel testing that about killed me. I said, you're not going to put no needles? He said, just a few times, just a few times. I said, all right, but just a few times, man. I don't like needles, man. I was acting all polished. I'm a pastor and all that. And he starts sticking these needles and starts digging like he can't find a vein. Like, you know, when you're shooting dope and you can't find it? He starts and shooting electrodes through it, right? The first one was nice. It would just go zzz, zzz, on the outside. I said, I can hang. I'm tough. What? I can do it? Yeah, let's go. Both hands. But then he got a needle out. It was like getting tasered by a cop gun. It was a little needle, but that little sucker had juice flying through it. And my hand would do this. And I said, how many more times are you going to poke me, man? He said, just a few times. So bam, 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 bam. My refresher, I got there all refreshed, all caffeined out. I was already like tripping. Because I freak out on needles more or less with, I used to have cocaine go up the needle and heroin, but not electricity. And boom, and then boom. I said, you said a few. Boom, boom, boom. And then he got to this end. I remember shooting dope here. You miss or go a little bit too far, it hurts. And then they're using that cold freezing spray. I said, oh, this one's going to hurt, man. This is going to hurt, man. And my hands doing it. I said, oh, my God. And he had me all marked up, all my hands all marked up to do this. I said, you're not doing this side. He said, well, you know, Mr. Rand, we got. I said, you're going to have to dope me up to do this on what part? Don't you understand? You better get your right. You lied to me. You said a few, man. When I say a few, that means one or two to me, two or three. Boom, 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 boom. These suckers still hurt. That was about 4 or 5 days ago, right? Today the results came. They took x-rays and everything. Well, I got carpal tunnel. From 1 through 10, I got about an 8. They're going to do surgery on this hand. My shoulder's gone. I'm going to have a shoulder replacement. They're going to take a plate with 8 screws out. And carpal tunnel on this one, 3 surgeries on one day, 1 on the other day. I said, let's do it. As long as I'm out, let's do it. Dope me up. Get me out of here. And I'm down for anything. They're going to put a block. Check this dope out. This is a new one on me. They're going to put a block on me. They're going to put a catheter. I said, what kind of catheter? Because I don't like that other one, right? Not good. That's one of the top 3 in pain that I've had to face in my life. Having a cap, whatever they call those things, ain't right. You get a catheter, whatever you call it. I don't know, is that the right word, catheter? Close enough. Just say yes. She said yes. They're going to have one of those catheters there. Amen. Who knows the right word? Catheter. Catheter. You're in the rehab, man. Tell me how it's said. So they put a catheter in you. They put a catheter in you. It's a block where I don't have to take pills after the surgery. I have a thing where I just beep, beep, press the button, but just for my arm to get high. I'm like, what's up with that, man? What do you mean just my arm getting high? What about me? So it's a block now that you just keep clicking the button and your hand's getting all morphined out all day long. I said, that sounds good. But, man, that's legal. I could legally get high, and you're just going to get my arm high? So they put a catheter or whatever here, and you should keep, and it's just, it's a block, and it's all the surgeries. They're going to do 3 major ones in this arm, and my arm's going to get higher than it ever did, man. But I ain't going to know about it. I'm just going to take them, you know, what they're saying. trying to tie back to this message here. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who are you? Where did I go? I want to share the greatest thing the enemy uses. It's the Holy Ghost is working real hard right now. Sometimes you got to give him time. You got to wait for it. You got to wait for it. Like when you read those things on Facebook, wait for it. Wait for it. Bam! Something happens real crazy. Amen. Wait for it. It's coming. Just don't know when, but I promise you it's coming. The plan of the enemy is for Christians to work harder and harder and harder, where we're left with no strength, no time for Jesus, and just like in the flesh. I told that doctor, replace my knee, I'm going to buy me a house in the country, and I want to be able to mow my own grass. I want to be back up in trees. I want to show my little boy I'm going to plant stuff and have animals out there. I'm not going to be walking around like this in the country. Because I know the rest of my body's still real strong. But these guys are gone. They've been gone. It's to work harder and harder, leaving us with no strength and time. I want to let you know, if you fill up in the morning with Jesus, no matter how tired you may be, he gives you a strength. He gives you a strength that comes from him, even though the flesh is still saying, I'm tired. Amen. The Bible says that the flesh is weak, but that the spirit is willing. I know for a fact it has kept me for 20 years, me spending time with Jesus spiritually strengthens me, for God can continue his plan, the calling upon my life that always represents others. The Bible says there in Exodus 5:4, but the king of Israel said to Moses and Aaron, why are you taking the people away from their labor? Get back to work. Get back to work. The Bible says, you keep on reading, that they took away the straw and everything, and they had to work harder and harder and still come up with the same quota of bricks, harder and harder. Working harder and harder to me represents putting something before the Lord. It don't have to be work, but work is a big one. I've been through many phases of working too much. I was such a hard worker that when I started, I would go to every job in the rehab. I was there for every job for many years. And the Spirit of God would start to convict me to stay back and to spend time with God. And the book that my job was to read and prepare to be an intercession and read God's word for the people. But I was so used to working with my hands. I was so used to having victory with my hands. And I remember it took a year or two staying back at the office and studying, putting messages together. I felt so guilty that I was not out there with the men working. And I would have to force myself. It was like boring. I felt lazy. It was all these mixed signals that I was getting, but it was God telling me it's now time that you spend time with me and let the men go work by themselves. It was God. I would not be where I'm at today if I would still been going to all the rehab jobs. I'm here today where I'm at from spending time with God. Whether my body feels good, whether it don't feel good, I don't allow that to deter where I'm going to spend time with God or not. If I'm having a good day, I'm going to spend time with God. If I'm having the worst day of my life, the more I'm going to spend time with God. In Exodus chapter 5, in closing, Exodus, check this out, chapter 5, verse 9, the Bible reads, make the work harder for the men so that they keep working and pay no attention to lies. Now, what the Pharaoh was hearing from Aaron and Moses was not lies. It was the very word of God. And what the enemy wants to do is having us work harder and harder to not listen, not to the lies, but to not listen to the truth of God for your life, for the calling upon your life. And too many times we get too much into our career, and there's nothing wrong with being in your career. It's a good thing. But when you put it first, something's wrong. Hear the enemy. In 9, the Pharaoh was saying, make the work harder for the men so that they keep working and pay no attention to the lies. To lies. The lies here represent the instructions of the Lord, the truth, the will of God. The number one thing of the enemy is to take our time and allowing it to sound like a truth and what God wants, a lie. And to limiting us spending time with God and being fresh spiritually, maybe not so much physically, but spiritually. Ready to fight the good fight. Ready to run the good race. Spiritually. I've been able to stay spiritually fit for 20 years now. Even though my body may not agree with that, I know that in spirit I'm strong. I have authority in my life. That there's no way I got here where I'm at in Victory Outreach because of good luck or coincidence. And here the enemy would love for you to just keep working harder and harder and harder to get you to a place of no strength and no time for Jesus. All the bills are getting paid, but your spiritual life is going down the tubes, down the toilet. If the keyboard kindly make his way up here. Too many times when we're struggling, we try something else and we work at it harder and harder, trying to get a breakthrough some other way. We try to channel and convince ourselves by doing it this way, we're going to get up the road a little bit quicker. And we start working harder and harder. We start getting committed to this or that. But what's important here this night, are you getting more committed to Jesus? Are you getting more committed to Jesus? Or is work and time and you trying to get a breakthrough this way or that way getting in the way of the truth of the Lord? That what you're following is a lie. The rehab always works real hard. So the Lord was really ministering when I was just reading this, right? And Felipe didn't know it, but he owes his boss a couple of thousand. I told him, start saving that money, man. And we've been trying to do this for the longest time. We kind of went to him, we fell back to working again. He said, how much more you owe? He said, about $800-$900. I said, well, I'm going to give you all that money. June the 1st, you just tell your boss you're paid up in full with him. And then you're going to go in 1 or 2 days, Felipe, and you're going to be dedicated to the rehab. Whether the jobs are coming in or whether the jobs are not coming in, we're going to have to draw the line. We're going to have to draw the line. And you know what? I know it's going to be good and it's going to get even greater. Because him working super hard right now and everything, we got a full home in the rehab. Now, of course, our home ain't as big as the home that Team Charlie's got. But this guy's, this row or two here, man, that's a packed out home right there. And if God is moving right now, none of the men are leaving the program. Got some more ready to graduate, another one ready to graduate, another one ready to graduate. Amen. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. There's nothing wrong with work. Work's a good thing. I believe a lot of my success came because I was a real, real hard worker. And I was willing to do any job, sewer job, any job. I would jump on it for the ministry. So So I was in thought as we're driving to New York, and I see the success. It's not lucky. He's been there over 2 years now with his wife, over 2 years now, and working hard. The men are not leaving. And I says, man, if God is being that faithful with this man not being there half of the time, what more does he want to do with him being there all the time? And this is where the church needs to raise up and pay their tithes and offerings and love offerings and all that. We're going to start sending groups to the training center, the UTC. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. We're going to start investing. We're at the level, at the time already. I'm not going to wait for a few tithers to come on board to wait what God wants to do. It's one of faith. So I said, what God could God do if he's moving that great? I believe he's got so much more up his sleeve that he wants to do in the rehab. What, Pastor, what are you doing now? Getting the mic.
Me and Felipe are cruising. And he talked about you, Ken. Ken was bad. He was bad. He was rated XXXX. Not even the devil should have given him a chance to hang out with him all those years he did. Even the devil had grace for him.
That dude, man.
He went toe-to-toe in my garage. What you guys do, bro? Feeling a little froggy? Jump. This one may not work. This one may not work, but this one does. That one does. So you.